Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We are continuing in our Advent series, and it is the third week of Advent, which means we get to light our three Advent candles. So far we have lit the candles to symbolise hope, love, and now joy, because we remember that Jesus came bringing hope, love, and joy. So we're going to light those three candles, and we'll think about the characteristics of hope, love, and joy that we find in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for bringing us joy, that we can rest in you knowing that we are redeemed, that we are saved, that we have been made whole and welcomed into your family. So as we go through this week, let us not lose that joy of being with you. Amen. So during this Advent season, we have been looking at peace, or rather we've been looking at shalom, that sense of completeness and wholeness that is given to us by God. We've considered how this God-given gift of shalom helps us with our fears and anxieties, with our tiredness and exhaustion. And now we turn our attention to thinking about how God's gift of shalom can help us with the challenge presented by perfectionism. Perfectionism is an unattainable desire to do everything flawlessly and to present oneself as infallible. Perfectionism tells us that we always need to do better, to be better, and it is never satisfied. We often try to fool ourselves that perfectionism isn't really a problem. It's just a matter of having high standards and wanting to do a job well. But it's not the same thing. Perfectionism and high standards are not the same thing. Perfectionism is driven by a need to be the best and a fear of failure. Whereas high standards are driven by the joy of doing a job well. Perfectionism causes us to strive for the unattainable. We are not perfect, and so we cannot achieve perfection in anything we do. Because of this, our desire for perfection puts unbearable pressure on ourselves and a dangerous amount of worth in the opinions of others. It is a horrible trap which whispers to us that we are never good enough, and that what we do needs to be better. Or it is an arrogance that proclaims we can achieve anything because we have the ability to become perfect. So as we look at this idea of perfectionism, we consider how God's shalom can help us. Sometimes our perfectionism comes from a sense of pride and arrogance, a false idea that we can do anything we put our minds to without any assistance from God. It also focuses on what people think about us. Essentially, perfectionism idolises the self by trying to be seen as by all as the best, the most perfect, or it idolises the idea of other people's opinions. It causes us to try to raise ourselves up in social status and hierarchy. A psychologist named Brené Brown wrote a book called The Gifts of Imperfection. And I'm going to quote from it a number of times, but one thing she says in the book says, "Healthy striving is self-focused. How can I improve? Perfectionism is other-focused. What will they think?" And so it's important that we remember that life is not all about us. We don't have to be perfect to be loved or seen as worthy. We don't have to strive to be seen as the best by others, because we are loved and valued by God, and it is God who directs our paths. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, Jeremiah says, "Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps." Without God, we can do nothing. That is a simple fact, so trying to achieve perfection is folly. Jesus reminds us that we need to remain rooted in him, because he is the vine and we are the branches. So I'm just going to read from John 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So in this passage, Jesus reminds us that God is in charge. Without connection to him, we cannot produce fruit, and our efforts are meaningless. God is the great gardener who tends to the branches, cutting off branches that produce no fruit and pruning those branches that are fruitful so that they may increase in fruitfulness. This shows that it is God who sets the standards, and it is God who enables things to happen. There is nothing wrong with having healthy high standards and wanting to do our best. The problem comes when we are not satisfied with doing our best, but instead we want to be the best. In trying to be the best, we make an idol of ourselves and place ourselves in God's place. We try to become the vine, we try to become the gardener, and so we are trying to force fruit to grow where it shouldn't. This obsession we have with trying to be the best and becoming perfect is dangerous and destructive. Shauna Nyquist said, "The grandest seduction of all is the myth that doing everything better gets us where we want to be. It gets us somewhere, certainly, but not anywhere worth being." Do we really want to pursue the idea of perfectionism if all it does is get us into trouble? Jesus says that if we are striving and don't remain in the vine, we get cut off and thrown into the fire. In Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul asked the question, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." For Paul, these questions are rhetorical, for it is obvious he wasn't trying to win the approval of people, especially when we consider the times he was arrested, beaten, chased out of cities, and ultimately murdered for the sake of the gospel. But while the questions might be rhetorical for Paul, there are important questions that we need to ask ourselves and really pause to focus on the answer and to hear from God. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? When we try to constantly be the best, to raise ourselves up in the hierarchy, we place ourselves above God, and we seek the approval of human beings rather than God. We no longer remain in the vine. Instead, we strive to be the best without him. Are we trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? So as we pause for a moment, think about your life. What areas of your life do you find yourself striving for perfection? Can you take this time to examine the motives behind your need for perfection? Who are you trying to impress? Whose expectations are you trying to meet? Why is it so important to you that you achieve so much in this area of your life? God wants to give you shalom so that you realize you are valuable as you are. May you experience God's shalom rest upon you and allow him to take away that need to strive for perfection. Rest in him. Remain in him, rooted as a branch to a vine. Allow him to motivate you, not the expectations of others. So while perfectionism can be a result of pride or a desire to be the best, it can also come from a deep sense of insecurity and inadequacy. We strive for perfection in the futile hope that if we work hard enough, we will be good enough. Again, as Brené Brown says, perfectionism is a self-destructive and addictive belief system that fuels this primary thought. If I look perfect and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimise the painful feelings of shame, judgment and blame. So often our self-confidence and self-esteem is so low that we consider ourselves unworthy of love and attention. And so this fuels the desire to become worthy by striving hard for perfection. The burden is unbearable and has the potential to lead to depression, anxiety disorders, addiction, and life paralysis. But we have good news. We have a God who sets us free from this burden. A God who loves us, even in the depths of our sin and shame. One who considers us worthy merely by the result of our existence. Let me read from Romans 5, verse 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I really love this passage and the sense of victory that's like just oozing out of the passage. And it's a really great passage to refute the voice of Satan that tells us that we're not enough and will never be enough. Because of what Jesus did for us, by coming to earth that very first Christmas, living a sinless life, dying and rising again, we can have peace. Shalom. As Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, we have been made whole, restored and redeemed in God's sight. That means we do not have to try and prove our worth by striving for perfection. Because we are made whole, we are no longer lacking anything that we need to fill with works. Christ died for us while we were still powerless, still in the grip of our sin. While we were enemies, he chose to reconcile us. So he now looks upon us and sees the perfection of Jesus. Perfectionism can stem from a fear of our own inadequacy, our own sinfulness. But we know that perfect love drives out fear. And perfect love did indeed come to earth in the person of Jesus to drive out that fear of inadequacy and shame. It is important that we remember that we aren't perfect. And in fact, perfection doesn't exist on this earth. We are all flawed and broken, but God loves us with an unending love, and he values us as we are. And this leads me on to my final point quite nicely, and that's God uses us in our brokenness. He doesn't ask for perfection, he asks for our submission. In fact, it is in our weaknesses that God's power is best displayed. And so I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians verse, chapter 11 verse 30 and then chapter 12 verse 7b to verse 10. So in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 30 it says, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses, my weakness." And then in the second verse of verse 7. "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When we think of heroes of the faith like Paul, we often elevate them to a high status, perhaps even approaching some kind of perfection in our mind. So it's good to be reminded that he, like all of us, was weak, flawed and imperfect. And yet God used him mightily in his weakness. God taught Paul a valuable lesson that in his weakness, God's glory shines all the brighter. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." This is such a reassuring passage. It's reassuring because, firstly, we read that Paul struggled with the thorn in his side and he pleaded with God 3 times to take it away. I find it comforting that even heroes of the faith like Paul struggled and pleaded with God. And so it helps me when I struggle and find myself pleading with God for his intervention. If even Paul struggled, then it's natural for us all to struggle and not be perfect. But this passage is also reassuring because although God refused to remove the thorn from his side, he does explain, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God's grace is more than enough to cover all our inadequacies and weaknesses. Sometimes we look at our weaknesses, our brokenness, as barriers that prevent us from following God and carrying out his will properly. But instead, we should be looking at this the other way round. Our weaknesses are the very thing that proves that it is God at work and not ourselves. If we are perfect, we would have no need for God. But since we are not, it demonstrates how much we need God. I'm reminded of an illustration that a friend of mine once shared with me about the image of a candle holder, like this one, a tea light holder that has holes to let the light through. She explained to me that we are the candle holder, and the gaps, the holes in it, are our weaknesses, our failings, our brokenness. When we put a candle in the middle of the holder, we see that the light shines through the gaps and the holes. We are not perfect and we need God. Just like with the candle holder, God shines through the gaps and the holes in our lives, through those weaknesses and failings. As Shannon Alder says, there is no perfection, only beautiful versions of brokenness. God makes our brokenness beautiful by shining through and showing us and others his glory. So as we think about perfectionism and redemption, let us learn how to let go of our need for perfection. Let go of our idolatry of ourselves or of the approval of others. And instead, let's learn how to rely on the redemption that Jesus offers. He sets us free from needing to strive and gives us his shalom, making us whole. God's grace is such that he is able to use our weaknesses, allowing his glory to shine out all the more as we depend on him in all situations. So how can you depend on God this week?